I want to say that this parish church today has been a place of great prayer. We saw people begin to gather at noontime, and they walked the stations of the cross through the neighborhood. For it is said that Jesus was nailed to the cross about 12 noon. At 3 o'clock, this church was mostly filled, and people were here for over 2 hours for the choral stations of the cross. It is said that Jesus died at about 3 in the afternoon. And so, at noon and 3, people were gathered. And here again tonight, we're gathered. And this liturgy that we celebrate, called the Good Friday Liturgy, is one of the most ancient liturgies of the church. It had been lost for a couple of hundred years and brought back in the 1950s in the Holy Week reforms, and this beautiful and ancient liturgy. It is not a Mass, although we receive communion, but we commemorate that at this time, as the darkness was falling, that the disciples were gathered. And what might have been on their mind? All of them but John had fled, each to his own place. But perhaps by evening they gathered and tried to sort things out. Can you imagine what was going through their mind? And so tonight, with the lights somewhat dark and the liturgy somewhat subdued, we too gather in prayer. We know what happens. Just wait till Sunday morning. But nevertheless, we all know Calvary in our own life. Some of you are going through a real Calvary right now. And although you may understand in some general way that you're to be confident and everything will be all right, you don't know how it's all going to work out. All of us have been through Calvaries, and all of us have Calvaries to come. The Good Fridays of our life. And we gather as people of faith and we say, well, the Lord rose on Sunday, and whatever I'm going through now, or whatever I've gone through in the past, or whatever I'll go through in the future, it will be all right. But it's not easy, is it? And it takes trust. And so we, who know very well our own Good Friday experiences, are gathered tonight, and we pray. Where is Jesus now? Oh, I know he's at the right hand of the Father, but I mean, we are now back on that Good Friday some 2,000 years ago. And when Jesus died on the cross and he said, "It is finished," and he died, where did he go? Where is he now? I want to read to you from an ancient sermon from the second century. It's one of the earlier sermons that we have. We don't know the author. We do know that it was a bishop from North Africa. A North African bishop wrote this sermon, and he was preaching on this very night, some 1,800 years ago. And he said, among other things, he said this: "Now a great silence reigns on the earth. A great silence and a great stillness. There is a great silence because the king is asleep. The earth has trembled and it is now still because God has fallen asleep in the flesh and he has raised up all who have slept ever since the world began. Yes, the Lord has now gone down among the dead to search for Adam, our first father, as if for a lost sheep, and greatly desiring to visit those who have lived in darkness and in the shadow of death, Jesus has now gone to free from sorrow Adam and Eve in their bonds, and to take away their captivity. He who is both their God and in time the son of Eve wakes them up from their tombs. And he says to them, I am your God who for your sake have become your son. I order you now, O sleepers, awake. I did not create you to be a prisoner in hell. Rise from the dead, for I am the life, and I am the resurrection from the dead. One of the more beautiful lines ever written in the Christian tradition, I, who am your Lord, for your sake, Eve and Adam became your son. Do you see the humility of our God? Scripture says of this moment, from the first letter of Peter, it says, Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. And he was now put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. And when he died, he went down and proclaimed to the spirits in prison. For this is why the gospel was preached, even to those who had died. That through, though judged in the flesh, the way people are, they might live in the spirit as God does. And so you see, now Jesus is down among the dead. And he's waking them up. The Eastern Church calls this the harrowing of hell, the turning out of hell. Now, not the hell of the damned. You know, before Jesus came, everybody who died went to a place that the Jewish people called Sheol. The Greeks called it Hades or Hades. All the dead went there, and they awaited the Messiah. And so now that Jesus has died on the cross, today at 3, he's gone down among the dead. He woke up Adam and Eve. And not just Adam and Eve, but Abraham and Sarah. He woke up David. He woke up Esther. He woke up Isaiah and Jeremiah. He woke up countless men and women and said, you've been waiting for me here. I am. Arise from the dead, O sleepers, and Christ, your Messiah, will give you light. And so that today, brothers and sisters, is where Jesus is. Everyone had the gospel preached to them, even those who died long before Christ, Christ now among the dead, preaching to them, ministering to them. Just a final thought, I'll read from the Catechism some thoughts on this going down among the dead. This is from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So the gospel was preached even to the dead. The descent into the place of the dead brings the gospel message of salvation to complete fulfillment. This is the last phase of Jesus' messianic mission. It is a phase that is condensed in time, but vast in its significance. For the spread of Christ's redemptive work now goes to all men and women of all times and all places, and all who are saved have now been made sharers in the redemption of Jesus Christ. Oh, they're hearing a good word from Jesus, a good sermon from the Lord. Yes, Christ went down to the depths of the dead so that the dead would hear the voice of the Son of God and that those who hear it would live. Jesus, the author of life, by destroying death, destroyed the one who had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. Henceforth, Christ now risen among us holds the keys of death and Hades, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, whether in the heavens above or on the earth and even under the earth. And every tongue proclaim to the glory of God the Father, Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen.